Our scripture lesson this morning is from James chapter 5, verses 14 through 18. We have a custom of on Ordination Sunday focusing on a passage or a theme related to the offices of elder or deacon. And we do so this morning, particularly focusing on verse 14 of James chapter 5, directions for the congregation in terms of what to do when we're sick. And, of course, corresponding obligations for the elders who are called upon to pray. So, with God's help, we'll gain better understanding of what it means for the Lord to have given us elders as a great gift. James 5, beginning at verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. Amen. I think if we're honest, much of James's counsel in the chapter, in the part of the chapter we've just read, is foreign to us. James talks about the use of anointing oil. He references an eccentric prophet whose prayers impacted the weather. Less strange, but yet not always practiced among us, is James's command that struggling Christians should call for elder or for prayer from church elders. So what do we do when we bump up against instructions and practices that seem off pace from our experiences? Well, of course, we can't say we can't give preference to our experiences or our customs, but we instead ought to try to learn about what God is saying, why he's saying what he's saying, and how we can implement in our day what God is teaching us by faith in Jesus. And so here's our thesis for mainly dealing with verse 14 of James chapter 5, which, if adopted, I think will represent something of a culture shift among us. Here's the thesis. Struggling Christians should get in the habit of calling their elders for prayer. Struggling Christians should get in the habit of calling their elders for prayer. I want to interact with you with that thesis, which is essentially verse 14 of James 5, by asking four questions about that text and that thesis, so that we better understand what God is saying, so that we, by faith, can do what God is calling us to do as a congregation, as the sick and as the elders. So the first, I think, very simple question, but necessary question is, what does it mean to be sick? In other words, God is calling certain people to do something, and he identifies them as sick. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders to pray. So we ought to understand who God is addressing here. James's word for sick includes also the weak, which is how that same word is translated in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 9. It includes those who are feeble, those who are powerless, those who are without means, as it is also translated in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. So he's not just talking about those with, you know, strictly speaking, physical ailments, but those who are feeble, powerless, weak, without means. James, interestingly enough, in verse 15, uses a different word in the Greek for sick. And that word is universally translated as weary in Hebrews 12, verse 3. So when James says, is anyone among you sick? He's not just talking about the physically ill, though that is certainly included as well. James also suggests that there can be a spiritual component to sickness. So when he says, is anyone among you sick? He's mindful of the spiritual dimension of our well-being. Did you notice how, as we read the passage, James could easily move from prayers for sickness to confession of sins? If he has committed sins, so verse 15, the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. The Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Those two are not drastically separated from each other. Prayers for healing, confession of sins. Also, James's illustration of Elijah praying for drought and then also praying for rain proves that James has in mind troubles related to spiritual backsliding. In other words, Elijah's prayer in the days of Ahab, which James references here, were prayers related to spiritual backsliding. And that's why Elijah prayed for famine, and then later, or for drought at least, and then later for rain. There's a spiritual component to the prayers for physical well-being in the illustration James uses. As in King Ahab's day, so too in our day, God can chasten believers with sickness and other bodily ills in order to bring them back to himself. So, James here is addressing those who are sick, those who are weak, those who are feeble, those who are powerless, those who are without means. As one writer put it, he is addressing all those who feel the sharp pinch of the fact that Eden is broken and heaven is not yet. And so in a certain sense, when James says, is anyone among you sick? We can relate to that. We have this profound sense in our bodies and in our souls that Eden is broken. Heaven is not yet. We're in that in-between stage where we're often sick, according to James's definition. So I'm sure this could be misunderstood to say, well, if any little thing happens, we call the elders, but what James is saying is, look, when you feel in a special way the profoundly negative implications of the fall through sickness or through distress or through fear or anxiety, that's you that James is addressing here. So what does it mean to be sick? It means for those who are pressed down hard in any number of ways because of the fall. We should call the elders for prayer. And that is a transition to the second thing that James calls us to do here. The second point this morning is this question, what should the sick person do? And the answer from the text is, let him call for the elders of the church for prayer. Now, I wonder if that sounds strange to you. Is anyone sick? Let him call the elders? Shouldn't he call a doctor? Shouldn't he call a medical professional? Either a doctor who cares for the body or for the mind, a psychiatric doctor or whatever. Shouldn't he call for a doctor if he's sick? And the answer is yes, of course. There are, the New Testament, Paul especially speaks glowingly of his beloved physician, Luke. He himself is not shy about giving certain medical counsel to Timothy. So this is not a text that teaches us to renounce the medical community. Say we don't need trained physicians. We just should call our elders. We want to give thanks for doctors and nurses and psychiatrists and psychologists, those who are using their gifts for the glory of God. So this is not a bypass around other means. But here's the challenge in our day, and why I think this text can be so culture-shifting for us. Medical advances can make us so one-dimensional as to discount the spirituality of physical problems. And so when we're sick, we may not even think about calling the elders. Right? What would we call the elders for? We have doctors. And what James is saying to us, if we could use language of our moment, is that elders are frontline health workers in a certain sense. Is anyone among you sick? Don't discount other means of medicine and exercise and professionals and whatever else. But is anyone among you sick? Call the elders. Don't become so one-dimensional that we rely on the advances that God has graciously allowed us to make in medicine and other healing techniques. And interestingly, James doesn't single out ministers or those in the language that we've heard this morning already from 1 Timothy 5:17, those who labor in preaching and teaching. He doesn't say call the pastor, which has prompted one commentator in our tradition to say this: the practice of calling the elders of the church to pray over the sick seems to belong to a bygone era. That's why I think if he's right, then this to practice what James is saying here will represent a culture shift. Today, he says, this work is usually assigned to the pastor. And I don't think the brother commenting on this text says that in a grudging way or in a way of saying, you know, I don't want to respond to these calls. The pastor need not be excluded from the blessed work of praying for those who are sick in the congregation. But what we need to notice in this passage is that the pastor is not alone the first line of defense for struggling Christians. The elders as a body are. Let him call the elders. And James doesn't make a distinction between what we might call, using more Presbyterian parlance, teaching elders or ruling elders. He doesn't make a distinction between elders and ministers. Call the elders. In addition to the force of custom that may steer us away from doing this, calling the elders, we might also balk at calling elders for prayer because we don't view them as spiritual caretakers. I'm not alleging that, but trying to wrestle with what I just mentioned, that this idea of calling the elders seems to belong to a bygone era. Why is that? Why is it that the elders are not seen as a first line defense for struggling Christians? Well, perhaps it's because we don't view them as spiritual caretakers. But if that's the case, we need to change that. Right? The elders in the Word of God are not merely decision makers. They are that. And that aspect is certainly stressed in our form for the ordination of elders, as we read it this morning, ruling in the name of Christ. But elders in the Bible are also shepherds. They're spiritual caretakers. Remember what the Apostle Paul said to the Ephesian elders as he was charging them with their most sacred duty in Acts chapter 20. He said, "Shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." And shepherding, of course, is just another word for pastoring. Be spiritual caretakers. He doesn't simply say, lead these people well. He does that, and he includes caring for the well-being of the congregation doctrinally. But he says, shepherd them. Feed them, nourish them, encourage them, pray for them. When James says in verse 16, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working, he seems to be specifically talking about the prayers of elders. Of course, he's not denying that the prayers of all righteous people work powerfully. But the context here is the prayers of elders. Is any of you sick? Call the elders. And then momentarily, James says, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elders, like Elijah, are men with natures like the rest of ours. James says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And so are elders. And for that reason, we may not think to call elders in our sickness. All right, is anyone among you sick? Yes, but what is an elder going to do? He's a builder, or he's a mechanic, or he's an IT person. He's not a doctor. And frankly, he's just like me. He has the same weaknesses as I do. He gets sick too. Why couldn't I pray instead of him? Why would I call an elder? But James is addressing that when he says Elijah was a man of with a nature like ours. Elijah wasn't a superman. He didn't have special powers different from ours. And yet he prayed, and for 3.5 years there was no rain. And then he prayed and there was rain. So, yes, elders are like us in many ways. That's why it can be difficult in our system, which we believe is biblical, to draw elders from among the congregation. You know, rather than having a hierarchy of those from outside the church who we might perceive as being somehow different. We know these brothers. We suspect they may struggle with prayer as we do. But James says they are men like Elijah. Calvin says, yes, your elders are drawn from among you. But he says this also, they are chosen from men of weight and of proved integrity, endued with gifts more than ordinary, those in whom the power and grace of the Holy Spirit more particularly appear. And so that's an encouragement to us. If you're sick, call the elders. Yes, they have a nature like that of Elijah, but they also have the qualifications that will, by God's grace, enable them to pray with sincerity and fervency and faith. Now, I grew up in a Reformed church in which it was not the custom to call the elders when you were sick. And perhaps you as well grew up in such a church. But the practice of calling upon elders in our sickness ought to be the norm among us. In fact, our church order, the church order of the United Reformed Churches, by which we're to govern our doctrine and life, makes this ordinary, or at least creates a circumstance in which this should be ordinary in terms of the duties of elders. We read this: elders must continue in prayer and visit the members of the congregation according to their needs. Now that's almost exactly what James says in James 5 verse 14. If you're sick, if you have needs, call the elders and they'll pray over you. Continuing in prayer, visiting those who have needs. So what should the sick person do? Call the elders. They could pray for him. That brings us up to the third question. What should the elders do? And it should be clear, but just to reinforce this, the elders should listen to your concerns and they should pray for you. Listen to your concerns and pray for you. And they should do so with the bedside manners of a doctor. James, I think, is not necessarily making a rule, but he seems to envision the physical presence of the elders for prayer. His precise wording is this in verse 14, let them pray over him. Pray over him. Now, to my mind, this could be accomplished over the phone, could be accomplished through a video conferencing method or something like that. But Calvin is right, I think, also to say this, that when we come, as it were, to the very scene itself, so to the bedside, so to speak, we utter prayers with more feeling. elders will pray over the weak with urgency, depending on God, knowing there's nothing else they can do. I mean, what else is an elder to do with a sick person? He's not endowed with special gifts of healing, doesn't have medical training. But when he's with a sick person, he says, all I can do is pray for you. But that's something. Let's pray. Let's go to the Lord together. And I think, and here's the moment we've all been waiting for, I'm sure, I think that's why James mentions anointing oil. Now, be patient as I work through this very briefly. The elders aren't called as medical practitioners, right, for sick people who need a doctor. So the anointing oil is not magical. It's not medicinal, probably. At least that's Calvin's opinion, and that's the opinion of many commentators as well. Some differ, of course, from that. But oil is, just to give one example of why oil is not mentioned here, probably as medicinal. Sicknesses take all kinds of manifestations, don't they? And oil isn't appropriate for most of them, or many of them, or all of them at least. So why mention this anointing oil? Why say that elders will come and anoint you with oil? Well, because oil in the Bible often symbolizes the healing power of the Lord Jesus. Anointing oil is not sacramental, but neither does James think it meaningless. As the prophets anointed kings for special service, James may want the elders to symbolically set apart for God's special attention the sick people they anoint. Now, having said that, grammatically, the emphasis in this passage is not on the oil. Right? The emphasis is on the prayer. The elders will come to you and pray for you. And perhaps James adds the idea of anointing with oil simply to tell people what they could have expected in that day, given local custom, or current custom, rather. So, in other words, dispense with the oil if you need to, but don't dispense with prayer. Prayer is emphasized here. There are reasons why oil may be used. I think it would certainly be biblical to do so. But don't dispense with prayer. Elders, pray in faith, as verse 15 says. Pray for the weak one, expecting God to heal, reserving God's right to exercise his will differently if he so chooses. So what should the elders do? They should listen and pray. And then finally, we need to ask this question. What is God's promise? Why do all of this? Well, God says, in answer to the question, what is the promise in this command? Well, God will bless the prayer of faith, verse 15 says. He will save the one who is sick, verse 14. He will raise up the one who is struck down and forgive the one who has sinned, verse 14. Now, lest we get the wrong sense from this passage, James is not teaching that elders are faith healers. Of course, people have perverted this passage to say, you know, when an elder goes to pray over a person, he's going to be endowed with special powers to heal the person. Elders are not faith healers. It is the Lord who heals. Every time, it is the Lord who heals. No exceptions. Whether the Lord uses the means of doctors or medicine or elders or other techniques, the Lord alone is the great physician. And that's the point of this text, I think. Do we believe that the Lord is the great healer? Do we believe that our bodies matter to God? Do we believe that God heals our diseases, as we sing in Psalm 103? He heals our sicknesses and diseases. Do we believe that God gets glory for healing? Do we believe that he loves to heal people? That's God's promise. Now, we know also that sometimes God doesn't heal according to our timeline. He doesn't heal here and now. We've all, or will all, know the frustrations of chronic pain, chronic weakness, chronic infirmities. The Apostle Paul prayed fervently for God to correct a fleshly ailment, and God answered differently than Paul had hoped for. And he did so, as Paul learned and mentions in 2 Corinthians 12, he did so for an important reason. Physical weakness makes us dependent on the Lord. So there will be times when the Lord doesn't heal according to our timeline, so that we would depend more fervently upon him. But here's what James 5, verse 14, I think, is finally teaching. It's reminding us of the goal of the gospel. And the goal of the gospel is this: Jesus will one day make everything well for God's children. He will raise up those who are bent down. He will cast out all of our sicknesses. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. And so for that reason, Jesus, when he comes into the earth, in his humiliation, he healed scores of people to assure us that he had come to reverse the curse which has wreaked havoc on human bodies since the fall. Right? People have been hurting. People have been sick. People have been weak. People have been without means since the fall. And then Jesus comes on the scene, and sickness has met its match. And even death is reversed as he raised several people from the dead. So this is what James 5, verse 14 is teaching us to believe. It's not just what we are to do when we're sick. It's what we are called to believe about God. When sick, scared, tempted, spiritually compromised, or otherwise weak believers call on elders appointed by Jesus, they are believing his promise to make everything well, ultimately at the resurrection, but in an introductory way here and now. James is calling us to act in faith, to do something with a degree of, to a certain degree that is counterintuitive. Call my elders? Yes. And here's why. And I love this, this closing quote from a pastor friend in the PCA, Zach Eswine, who said this: elders are not Jesus. We know that, right? But they are shepherds given to glimpse and resemble for others the presence, teachings, tone, and expression of the true and good shepherd. And so let's call our elders, trusting that God will use their prayers to make us well. And whether that happens in this age or in the age to come, let's do what James calls us to do, so that thereby we may express our faith in the great physician Jesus Christ and in his commitment to bring to pass what he has promised to make all things well. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for the gift of elders, as we have expressed already this morning. We thank you for the particular elders that you have given to us. And we thank you that though they are ordinary men, in a certain sense, yet you have a plan to use ordinary men to increase our faith and to heal your congregation. So we pray that you would bless us to express the faith by doing what James calls us to do, to call our elders to pray for us when we are sick. And bless the elders also with that fervency of prayer and that faith that their prayers are truly, when prayed in faith, doing what you mean them to do. We thank you for this promise that one day all will be made right. Help us to believe that now and to act accordingly in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.